Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how are you this evening on Sunday at 6 p.m. on the 28th of April? This is the Anthony Johnson Show, and I'm Anthony Johnson. Hope all is well. Hope everybody's had a good week. Relaxing now, you know, and getting prepared for Monday. Isn't it amazing how fast the weekend goes? I guess that's just the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. The weeks go by quick. And it's just, you know, as a kid, it was like, you know, you couldn't wait, you know, to the weekends. And now, you know, we would be upset because it's like, wow, Friday came. And next thing you know, it look up, it's Sunday night. And it's like, wow, what happened to the weekend? And it's like the older you get, it's like it seems for me, it just seems like it goes even quicker. So I'm like, hey, what happened? What's going on here? So, you know, again, I hope everyone had a good week and relaxing Sunday. So we're going to get right into our discussion this evening. And last week, you know, I talked about differences between the liberals and progressives. And this week's discussion is to, you know, progressives and liberals. Can this union work? I think when you look at it right now, I'd say no. I think if you ask a large number of people in this country who identify themselves as liberals and progressives, and you ask, could it work between them? And I think they would say no. You know, the bottom line is this, is that we both share the same ideology about moving this country forward, you know, addressing our medical coverage, medical health and infrastructure building and education, you know, eliminating the student debt, holding politicians accountable. I think liberals and progressives share the same ideology. It's just we have different ways of going about doing it. So there's that issue. You know, as I said last week, you know, when liberals, for example, when liberals will pay for body cameras on police, great. You know, we'll pay for it. I mean, the liberals will say, you know, every police officer in America should have body cams, and they should be working, and they should be on, so we can see, so the general public can see what's going on. Progressives feel the same way, but they want to address the training the cops receive that necessitate the need for cameras. So it's almost basically when we want to see how the police are being trained in the academy. And then that will tell us if, you know, they should wear body cams no matter what, but it at least shows us what they're being taught. You know, friends of mine who are police officers that I've talked with have said, you know, a lot of the stuff they've learned in the academy is BS. Like, they have been told, you know, by the instructors at the academy, all right, look, for the public's sake, because there are civilians who are part of the, you know, the police committee, they're walking around here, so you do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But when they're gone, we do whatever we want to do. And honestly, this is what friends of mine who are police officers have said, and my conversations with police officers who aren't my friends, but just in having this general conversation, have said that, you know, they're being taught two sets of rules in the academy. So when they come out, you know, it's like they don't know what to think. And then if they're assigned to somebody who's basically told them, and that this is not only have my friends who are police officers that said this, but again, individuals who I'm not friends with, but I've had conversations with about what you're learning in the police force. They have said that, and it depends on the person that you're partnered with. You're partnered with a veteran, so somebody who's been in the game for a long time, who's been a police officer for a long time. They'll tell you basically, listen, don't do anything You follow my lead. Don't make any assumptions of anything. Do what I say and do what I do. So, again, they walk away from that conversation like with mixed emotions, like, okay, so if this police officer who's a veteran who I'm shadowing is clearly violating, you know, this individual's rights, I'm supposed to just stand pat. Yeah, they do. They do it all the time. So that's why when you talk about good police officers, bad police officers, the good police officers will say, well, I'm a good police officer. I don't engage in corruption. I don't take bribes. I don't believe in violating people's civil rights. And it's like, okay, that might be true. But you are a partner. You're a partner with someone who does all of that, and you say nothing. So you are just as complicit in all their illegal shenanigans as they are. So that's one of the differences. Liberals will also vote for a stimulus package, which is good, but progressives might do that as well, but they will also plead for investigation into why it is needed, how it will be spent, and if the system will allow for the same problems to happen again. So liberals and Democrats, I mean, progressives, we have, again, as I said earlier in the statement, that we have we compare on several issues. It's just we're more progressives that I, you know, and that's speaking for me, that we're just more deep. We go to the core of the source. I think liberals tend to say, okay, we need to do this, and we need to do this moving forward, do this now and moving forward. Progressives say we need to do this now, but we need to go back to and find out why we need to do this and ensure that it doesn't happen again. And like I said, with regards to, you know, stimulus packages, we want to make sure that, you know, we want to know why we need the stimulus package when we should have already had it, how it's going to be spent, and if the system will allow for the same problem to happen again. Again, these are just some of the things that we are, you know, we actually agree on, but we just have different ways of getting to it. We liberals will raise millions of dollars to beat Republicans, despite Republicans having more big donors. Progressives think large donations fundamentally corrupts politics. So the bigger the donation, the more corrupt you are. I said this, you know, at the start of this, you know, the fourth season of the Anthony Johnson Show several weeks back, I said, in talking to Republican donors, they, you know, they donate big to the Republican candidates, but they also have said to me that we donate to Democratic candidates, and we donate to them because we know that they might be Democrat in name, but we know that they are moderate to basically they're conservative Democrats, meaning that they kind of they walk at the same slow pace as Republicans do in trying to move this country forward. You know, so that right there, you know, progressives are saying, look, you're giving money if Republican donors are giving money, big money to their candidates, and also giving big donations to Democrats, it poisons and corrupts the politics. Because you, as a Democrat, taking money from big money from a Republican donor, you're going to vote the way they want you to vote. So it's corruption plays a significant role. Liberals will promote after-school programs for inner-city youth. We might do that too, but we'll also address the minimum wage, lack of jobs, historical housing discrimination, and over-arresting of black youth across the country. So you see, there's four things that we do that, you know, liberals don't do in this country. But again, we're all on the same page. It's just different ways of going about doing it. So what happens now is that it was no more glaring than the 2016 presidential election. With Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, but people don't talk about with regards to Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen, was not treated fairly. the media, even the media now have come forth and said, yeah, you know what, he wasn't treated fairly. You know, he didn't get the spot, he didn't get the media attention that, you know, that the other two candidates got. Because we live in a country where, you know, Bernie Sanders is an independent. So a lot of Americans, a lot of people who identify themselves as Democrats have said time and time again, I have an issue voting for someone who's not, he's not Democrat, he's an independent. Someone posted, I read this week, that I will not be voting in election to help an independent. And I think the person that they were referring to is Bernie Sanders, because he's the only one of the Democratic presidential candidates, 19 of them, who is an independent. So this is what the comment that the individual made. My view is this: if you feel that way, you truly feel that way, then you're not expecting registered independent voters to vote for your guy, whoever wins that nomination. So if Joe Biden wins, you're saying as a voter, you're not voting for somebody who's not voting for somebody who's an independent presidential candidate, i.e. Bernie Sanders. I mean, just be, you know, don't play games. Everybody knows who you're talking about. At the same time, then that means you're not expecting independent voters to vote for your guy if he wins. Because legitimately, that's what we could say. I could get on the radio, whoever wins. So give example, if Joe Biden wins, I can say for all my progressive family out there and all you independents, because registered Democrats have made it clear that they had no intention of supporting, you know, an independent, then you should not support that Democratic vote. That's one of the issues that we're having with liberals and progressives in this country. There's too much of this toxic narrative that's going on, and none more, like I said, none more apparent. In, you know, 2016's presidential election. You know, I'll talk about that at the end, though, before we finish the show. But progressivism has historically been associated with science, rationality, and an approach to government and society reliant on knowledge and empirical methods. Critics have said that progressives were overly reliant on the notion of human improvement, even human perfectibility, which offends some of the teachings of the Judeo-Christian tradition. So critics are saying that, you know, as a progressive, we're relying on a notion of human improvement, that we're being ridiculous when we say that, you know, we have the capacity, you know, to improve our society. We have it in our capacity to improve each other's lives. And, you know, this is why we always hear, progressives always hear, you want too much, too fast. That's interesting, because progressives have been trying to, you know, get things done in this country since the progressive movement began in 1912 by Theodore Roosevelt. So every presidential election, you always hear this. You always hear people say, y'all guys want too much, you're trying to move too fast. You know, slow down, slow down, slow down. Listen, if you're a liberal and you want to move this country at a snail pace, then I know, in fact, you're not liberal. You don't believe in liberalism. That's a conservative approach. Everything has to be moved very, very slow. 21st century, but America is still stuck in the latter part of the 20th century, which you're talking about moving slow. So when progressives talk about infrastructure, people say, y'all want too much. You're moving too fast. You can't get that. So you're saying in Flint, Michigan, progressives are saying, how is it that the water is still contaminated after all these years when we can go in and fix this stuff? You're saying, oh, you're being ridiculous. You're moving too fast. When we talk about addressing, you know, having universal health care for every American, oh, we can't do that. You're being ridiculous. But these are the same people, when they can't get medicine, life-saving medicines for them or their family members or their loved ones, they're the first ones standing in front of CNN or MSNBC crying. Nobody wants to see your tears and your crying. You've made a choice by telling progressives who are out there fighting to get you that affordable medicine, you're telling us we're being ridiculous. Oh, so y'all moving too fast. Every time you turn around, there are people criticizing progressives. In that sense, though, progressivism also stands apart from some definitions of liberalism, and certainly from ideas of radicalism, even though all three terms imply support for equality, change, and reform. And all three have been used as antonyms for conservatism. So you have liberals that is called progressive radical. You know, once again, these people say, oh, well, you know, they're radical. You know, I'm Christian and so forth and so forth. I'm like, well, Jesus was a radical. First of all, progressives aren't radical. It's radical because what we're saying is something that should be done almost from the inception of humans walking the face of the earth. Isn't that interesting? I think in many respects, particularly in America, people use words that they really don't know the meaning of. They truly don't. You know, next time somebody says something like robust or you're radical, say, okay, well, what does that mean? I don't want your 99.9% wrong definition of radicalism. Tell me what the term means. And I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, 9 out of 10 times they won't be able to tell you because they just heard it and they like the word, the way it rolls off their tongue, so they use it. See, progressive is a thought process that everybody should have. People identify themselves as, oh, I identify myself as a conservative. Well, what is a conservative? Well, we believe in small government and low taxes. Yet, I can't remember in modern day, since I was born in 69, so I'm going to say since 1980 when I was 10, when I could understand what all this was, where the conservative / Republican Party didn't like a high tax that they didn't like. They never found one that they didn't like. So you can't say you're conservative, you know, small government, small, low taxes. Every time these guys have been in power, what happens? Your taxes are raised high, are high. You pay high taxes. So they don't believe in that. They don't believe in that. But they know they have a core of people in this country who are drinking from the Jim Jones fountain, Kool-Aid, because they understand they can keep peddling that. So people ignorantly says, oh, well, I'm conservative, I believe. But you go to those same people, and they say they ain't conservative, right? I ain't talking about the politician. I'm talking about the everyday, you know, everyday American. And you say, okay, well, what about health care universal? Like whatever you're paying in health care, we have a plan that you wouldn't have to pay anything, and it would be basically roughly free. Would you be signing up for it? They'd be like, yeah. Well, how are you conservative then? Or we would say, we have to, whatever you're paying in your taxes now, by implementing this program, student loan debt to get loan debt paid off, your tax, wherever your taxes are right now, they'll stay there, but we can eliminate student debt. Would you sign up for that? They say, yeah, I thought you said you were conservative. I thought you said you were about a low tax and small government. See, so then you catch them in a lie, because they spent so long lying to themselves and being lied to by politicians who keep saying that, oh, low taxes, small government, low taxes, small government, low taxes, small government. And neither one, you know, conservatives balloon the government bigger than progressives and liberals in this country. That's a fact. Their taxes, they raise taxes all the time, more than progressives and liberals. That's a fact. That's not, you know, a fairy tale. Yet they go to the same people, their supporters, and say, oh, we don't do that. It's the Democrats that do it. It's the Democrats that do it. And again, these people drink from the fountain of Jim Jones Kool-Aid, and they believe it. So conservatives' attitude is, we don't need to change anything because we have such a, you know, we have such a gullible group of people that support us. Why would you change? They say to me, why would, should we change, Anthony? And my comeback is, yeah, I see your idiotic point. When you got idiots that's going to follow you no matter what, why should you change your tactics? But the battle between it's between liberals and progressives. And the fact of the matter is that neither one can get on the same page. There is so much commonality between the two that, you know, you wonder why it can't happen. Why can't these two groups work together? You want the same thing. Some, you know, one group wants it, the other group wants it, but they want to go a little, dig a little deeper to make sure that once we got it, we don't lose it. That it is policy, it is put in play, and we don't have to keep revisiting it because the next group of people that come in, particularly like on the conservative side, the Republicans, then they can come in and get rid of it. We need, you know, progressives want to make it law and say this is what it's going to be. It's not going to be we're doing it now because we're in power, liberals. We have to make it stick. So even when the next, if the Republicans come in, that's a topic they can't touch. They can whine about it and wail about it, but it's like, dude, it's policy now. It's law. So it's nothing you can do about it except whine and wail. Nothing's going to happen, though. It's not going to change. Liberals have to begin to take on the attitude that when we talk about Roe v. Wade, where that is law, every year, year in, year out, decade after decade, Republicans talk about repealing, getting rid of it. They know they can't get rid of it. Even with the boyhood drunk and liar, Kavanaugh, on Supreme Court Justice, he knows he can't get rid of it. He knows it's not going to happen. But they do the song and dance, the dog and pony show to their base. It's never going to happen. That's what progressives want. That's what progressives fought for. Progressives fought for that to become law. Liberals fought for that to become law. One of those rare instances where progressives and liberals work together. So that's what progressives are saying. Progressives are saying we need to make this stuff law so it cannot be changed. Oh, well, you know you're going to get challenged, but it's law, and it's hard to get rid of a law once it's in place. Infrastructure, we still having a conversation of infrastructure in this country, and it's 2019. We've been having this conversation about infrastructure since 1980. Nothing has gone into place. Even during the good years, those great economic boom years under Clinton, we still didn't do enough for, you know, we still didn't do enough to address the infrastructure in this country. So the question is, you know, ladies and gentlemen, can the liberals and progressives, can we get along? Can the union work? And I believe it certainly can. We have it in, we both groups in this country have it within us to do just that. And we can. And honestly, I'm looking and thinking, you know, and you might be thinking the same thing. Well, then, Anthony, why hasn't happened? Because we let pride get in the way. We let our egos get in the way. That's probably, you know, one of the top reasons. We can have a discussion and disagree, but it doesn't have to be toxic. It doesn't have to be venomous. So we can work together, and we can make this union work, but only if we work together. So one, ladies and gentlemen, we have to stop criticizing using toxic and venom rhetoric. You look at what happened in 2016 between the Hillary Clinton supporters and the Bernie Sanders supporters. Even after Bernie Sanders had bowed out gracefully, you know, the Hillary Clinton supporters now were taunting the Bernie Sanders supporters, saying, "Yeah, now y'all better go out and vote for Hillary." Blah blah blah. You can't have that. You can't ask somebody to do something for you while you trashing them, while you disrespecting them. And contrary to popular belief, when liberals like to say, oh, Donald Trump won because all these so-called progressives, they stayed home. Ladies and gentlemen, since 1972, the presidential elections have had, on average, 60% of the population going out and vote. Okay? The only time there was a major uptick with that, where it reached somewhere in the 70 percentile, was when President Obama ran the first time. Other than that, and when between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, it was 60%. 54% of white women in this country voted for Trump. We also know, ladies and gentlemen, that not all those women were registered Republicans. We know that many of them were registered Democrats. So stop. Stop. That's what I'm talking about, the venomous rhetoric about criticizing who did what did what. People always stay home. Millions of people in this country always stay home during a presidential election. 60% is roughly the number every 4 years, and nothing changed. We saw a huge uptick. Well, the only thing we did see is that huge uptick in white women voting against their their best interest. A lot of those women, millions of those women that went out and voted, were not all Republicans. They were Democrats as well. Two, find commonality. There's so much of it that's available. Stuff I just talked about. Liberals and progressives basically both want infrastructure. We both want universal health care. We want money out of our politics. Okay, we want better health care for every American. We want to address the climate change in not just in the world, here in America, but all over the world. We want to address the social dichotomy of a justice system that basically don't give a rat's behind about a large population of people, predominantly African American. So there is common morality there. We can do this together, but we have to put our petty differences to the side and stop attacking each other. Number three, utilize factual critiques of the Democratic candidates. Ladies and gentlemen, I said this a week ago. I have no problem with someone criticizing a Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris or Cory Booker or Joe Biden. Not at all. And we should do that. If there's many issues that I have with Joe Biden, and I can tell you right now, I would have major issue voting for him if the presidential election was on Tuesday. He has a lot of explaining to do, and that's okay. Don't criticize me because I'm saying that. I'm saying he has some explaining to do about the drug laws that sent millions and millions of African American men and women to jail, millions and millions of African American men and women who were on crack. They didn't need to be in prison. They needed to be in institutions that can help them get off the drug. That's what they needed to be. So we all should be able to criticize the Democratic candidates, but use facts. That's it. So in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen, if we can do those three things, progressives and liberals, I have absolutely positively no doubt we can come together and vote for someone for president, and not just for president, but all the way across the board, from the city to the state to the Fed. We vote for people, liberal and progressive, together, united, and finally moving America into the 21st century. That's it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Talk to you next week. Good night.